Welcome to the SpinAxis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
Today we're going to talk about the averages and window ranges that golfers should be trying to aim for in their golf swing. And this could be movement or club data based.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about whether that's a valid way of teaching, because we have a bunch of PGA Tour players and LPGA Tour players and good players with full measurements in 3D. But someone will always say, well, what about Matt Wolff? Or what about Jim Furyk? Or what about Keegan Bradley? So what do you teach? Do we teach within windows and say all good players are 85% of good players are within this window? Or do we say swing your swing and let's just make that work? What do you guys think?
I always say swing your swing unless your swing sucks, and then stop swinging your swing. Obviously, you know, that's obviously tongue in cheek and a joke, but I think people just take some of this stuff so literal. I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are actually surprised at where most of the tour players are. They're not as crazy. Let's just think of a rotational perspective. They're not as crazy open at impact is I think what people are trying to achieve, because they see all these YouTube videos and they see these people who can really, you know, spin their hips open and get their chest way open. And, you know, not every single tour player is doing that. So I think a lot of times it almost reins them in to, hey, you don't have to be as on the end of the spectrum as you think.
So what, speaking of that, do you know what tour average for pelvis open, hips open, whatever you want to call it, at impact is?
Yeah, it's like 40 degrees, right? Mm-hmm. From address, yeah. from their address position.
Yeah, and plus or minus 10 degrees. Plus 10 degrees would be not many people. You're not adding a lot of people. Rory's about 48, 49 degrees at impact, and he's one of the higher ones. Plus or minus 10 degrees probably covers 85% of the tour. So for example, now that's way down the chain as far as what you're working with. When you're working with an amateur, usually getting your hips open is one of the later things that you tend to work on. They tend to have other things that you work on first, including not turning your hips back 70 degrees or 60 degrees in the backswing.
Correct.
First of all, when you are working with someone, sometimes it's a relief to say, oh, you were 20. If we can get that to 30,
that's right.
You're within the edge of that window. You're in a decent range, right? And if we can get to 35, it's not something we might ever talk about again.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of people, that is it's almost like a weight off their shoulders. Like they've been trying to get their hips open so hard. Like, man, no matter what I do, I just can't. It's like, well, you're almost there.
Yeah. Or your past for some people.
Yeah, definitely have seen that too. What about, let's talk a little bit about like some club data again with angle of attack. You know, what do you see any players who come in and have maybe some unrealistic ideas of what it is they're trying to do with a 7-iron?
I wouldn't say that. I've never had someone come in and gone like, hey, I want my angle of attack to be this number. Yeah. But I have had
3.9 degrees down.
Yeah, has to be here. I've had people come in on either side of it. I had one guy that was 11 degrees down with his 7-iron. And then I actually had a student just today where he was hitting up on it 2.5 degrees with the 7-iron. And of course, his ball position's way too far forward. He's thinning or fatting the shot. And it was like, okay, do you know where your ball position should be? And he's like, I don't. I'm like, okay, we're going to go straight into the basics: ball position, grip stance, posture, ball position. And it was like ball position for him, we moved the ball back, and it was like all of a sudden he started hitting one down on it, and it was like some crisp strikes. I'm like, how does that feel? He's like, it's awesome. I'm like, great. You could, so it's only 3 degrees, like it's not that huge, but was a massive change into how better he was striking the golf ball. But I said, you know, tour average is 3 point something with your 7-iron on that PGA Tour. You don't swing it as fast as them. So you're probably going to want to compare yourself a little bit more to the LPGA Tour. And so they're 2 point something. I can't remember off the top of my head. They're a little bit less. And if you're anywhere between, let's say, 1 and 3 down, it's going to be a great spot for you. But the main thing, obviously, is we want to get good ball first contact. And you're not going to get that swinging 2-3 degrees. I think he had one actually, like, no joke, 5 degrees up. Yeah. So it's like, that's rough.
Yeah.
Off mats, you can see like 12 up. Because they fat it and the club bounces up out of the mat.
Bounces up.
Yeah. Regardless of whether you're looking at club data or movement data or body data or elbow angles or any of these things, I think amateurs are surprised at a few things. Number one, the windows they're both pretty tight, but also fairly generous. You can lift your trail elbow off your ribs a little bit or kind of a lot. and you're going to cover 85% of tour players. You're probably not going to include Bubba Watson in that.
Yeah.
I'm being gracious and extending tour players to include Liv at this point. But you're probably not going to, you might not cover Bubba Watson in your 85 percentile, 7.5% on each end, or Matt Kuchar might be outside of that 85%.
Yeah.
But those are outliers. And so if we're not talking about windows and ranges, we're talking about outliers. And so there are a lot of amateurs who, and this is one of the toughest things as a golf instructor to fight. There are a lot of amateurs that will con themselves into thinking, oh, Matt Kuchar does this, or Bubba Watson does this, or Keegan Bradley does this, or Jim Furyk does this, or Matt Wolf does that. So I should be allowed to do that too. You are not named Matt Wolf or Jim Furyk, or, and if you are, you're just, you have the same name as a famous golfer.
Or thanks for listening to the Spin Axis podcast, you know, Matt Kuchar or Bubba Watson.
Right. Hi.
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Those guys have been swinging that way since they were 5 or 8 or 9 or 10, and they got good. And so the coaches that they had at the time, and I don't care what he says, Bubba Watson has had lessons. I've seen some.
Absolutely.
On the ranges at PGA Tour events, working with an instructor. The coaches that they had all along were smart enough in some ways, or cautious enough to not say, you know what, this guy does something a little bit weird, but he's having success with it, so let's monitor it. Let's kind of make sure we keep him within his windows or ranges and make him aware of what might be a problem if he gets out of whack. Otherwise, we're just going to kind of ride it because he's playing pretty well.
It's like the, you know, famous, if Jim Furyk came to you and wanted to get lessons, what would you work on? First thing I always ask, what's happening in your golf game?
Right.
Well, I just shot 61 and 60 last weekend. That's pretty good. You know, like, what are we working on here? You know what I mean? Like,
can I?
But he's coming to you for a lesson, so he wants to do something differently.
Yeah, but you got to know what does he want to work on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
but
so
it's
for instance,
it's still going to look like Jim Furyk's swing. Even if you change something about his swing, it's still going to look like his swing.
Because he just shot 60.
You're not going to wholesale change his swing.
Yeah. But if you get Mr. Johnson to come in, I shot 120. Looking like Jim Furyk might make a little bit bigger change.
Yeah, Jim Furyk has hit millions of golf balls in his life. His swing is pretty grooved for what it is, so you're not going to change it a lot. Mr. Johnson hasn't hit 100 golf balls in the past week. He has some room to improve. Making the move simpler, moving someone's golf swing into more of the windows or ranges. We've said this before on the podcast. Tour players have simpler, easier swings than most amateurs.
Yeah.
I think that's still my favorite clip from like the AMG guys when they had, I can't remember what tour player was. He came in early and he was watching like an amateur hit golf balls. I've said this before, I think, but he just leaves and the pro goes, I don't know. That guy is so skilled. How he could hit a golf ball like that. I couldn't do that. It's like, let's make it easier. If it's easier in time, once that move is, let's say, more ingrained, right? Less stress of actually trying to make, you're going to play better golf because you're in more of those windows.
Yeah. And I think the great thing about the world we live in today with all the technology that we have, that you can really measure all this stuff from great players. There's always going to be outliers. We say that and we say that a lot, but there's always going to be outliers. But when you start measuring stuff, the best players are doing way more similar stuff than they are doing different. And to Eric's point, also simpler stuff. It's a much simpler move. They then go do it a lot and they can repeat it. And to me, one of the crazy things with, you know, whether you call it TrackMan imperatives or whatever sort of device you're using, it's just how to the half a degree their club path can be the same every time, right? Or their swing direction or their low point or heck, their club speed. We've all seen the videos of those guys on the range. They got a 7-iron in their hand, they take a swing and they'll say, you know, 93.5, right? They're guessing. And then you look at their iPad and it's 93.6. They know what all this stuff feels like so much because they've done it so much.
I just thought of an analogy. It might suck.
Full disclosure.
I just thought of it. We've all hit a putt that slams into the back of the hole, pops up and like goes in, or we've seen one that does that.
Absolutely.
That's an outlier. That doesn't mean that's a good way to putt. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, I made that putt that one time doing that thing where I hit the ball way too hard and I hit the back of the hole, popped up in the air, and that was fun.
I'm going to keep doing that.
Your golf, I'm going to keep doing that. That's your Matt Wolf swing that you are trying to justify keeping because one guy that you can name does it. You are much better off saying, I need to figure out where the middle 70% of PGA Tour players are, or LPGA Tour players, or whatever,
yeah,
and work toward that, because I'm not a professional golfer. I'm not going to hit 1,000 balls a day to groove whatever kind of weird swing I have. And by the way, Matt Wolf was putting out of bunkers at Augusta National because he couldn't hit a partial wedge because the club was outside of his head at, you know, P3. You know, there are some downsides to some of that stuff too. Jim Furyk probably could have hit it farther if he had maybe come up with a different swing. Doesn't mean you would have changed Jim Furyk's swing, but in a parallel universe, Jim Furyk might be a 5-time major winner because someone that talented that hit it farther might have been just a little bit better. We don't know. He might have been worse.
Yeah.
We don't know. So I'm not saying he would have been better or worse. We don't know. But there's a possibility that he could have been better. Stop using outliers to justify a goofy swing that's tough to time, that when you take 2 weeks off, it's gone, and you have to work really hard for another week or two to get it back, right? You should be able to take a month off and kind of come back and quickly kind of get back to where you are or were, because your swing is simple.
Yeah, you always hear those stories of those guys that used to play in like college Div 1s, and they go out, haven't golfed in 2 or 3 years, you know, crack a beer on the first tee and then shoot 63.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because they have an overly complicated golf swing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think this game is hard enough, right? With all the things that we can't control. If you can make your move more efficient, more simple, it's going to be more repeatable for you. And you just see people who are trying to do overly complex things because it's the rave on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube. And, you know, it's just not going to be a long sustaining thing. You know, I even think, Erica, we talked a little bit ago today, getting ready for the show, like even the setup numbers that you'll see. So like on gears where it's measuring, you know, side bend, forward bend, all those things. I think one of the things that impresses me most about elite level players is they're getting in the same setup every single time before their swing even starts. So when we talk about simple, that's something we can control. And you'll see a 15 handicapper whose ball position will move 10 inches when they're hitting 10 balls in front of you, right? Can you talk a little bit? I think one of the things I think sometimes that gets people confused is side bend at setup. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why you think people will get that confused? What numbers do we see from a driver to a 7-iron? How much side bend do we typically see?
So if we're talking about shoulder tilt is different than side bend.
Yep. Let's go with shoulder tilt first.
If your trail hand is below your lead hand, you're not playing cross-handed, which is most people. Of course, if you're playing cross-handed, you are an outlier. And if your name is not Josh Broadaway or one or two other people, you're probably... should switch.
It's probably time to change.
Probably time to change. But your shoulders are going to be tilted more than your spine axis, right?
Yep.
Or the axis of your torso, or however you want to think of it. Tour players are, by and large, and this is one of the first things I did when I had a gear system, tour players are, by and large, almost vertical until P5. It's kind of crazy. Around P4, tour average with an iron, it's an average, so it's a middle. So again, plus or minus like 6 degrees is going to cover probably 80% of tour players. So you could have 6 degrees of tilt away, but you could have 6 degrees of tilt toward the target. Sergio Garcia springs to mind as being like in the 70s, meaning 11 or 12 degrees of tilt toward the target during his backswing. Looks like a reverse pivot, but he goes forward during the downswing, so it's not. But around 90 degrees at the top of the backswing. Now that's axis tilt. If you draw a line up your back, it's going to be tilted slightly away because your pelvis is wider than your shoulders when they're turned 90 degrees. So 2D can play some tricks on you, but there's not a lot of tilt away from the target. Even with a driver, it's like 4 degrees, maybe less than just under 5 until P5. And then that's when the lead leg extends, pushes the pelvis forward, kicks the chest and torso back a little bit, and we get some axis tilt, which at impact with an iron is about 12 degrees and with a driver is 15, 16, 17, 18 degrees only. 102.7, I think, is tour average on my little chart of like 45 tour players, men and women. And I think 108.1, I think, so 18 degrees with a driver. So not a lot throughout the swing.
Yeah. And I think you'll see all sorts of stuff. You'll see guys who are really trying to get way back behind the golf ball at address.
The reverse K thing is kind of not really a thing anymore.
Yeah. Right.
At the TPI videos where the guys are hitting driver, Greg will have people make their left hip a little higher than the right hip, but he doesn't have them do it by tilting back. He just has them change the level of their hips. And then they take that whole setup and just shift it back a little bit. So they're a little bit behind the ball, which I've never loved that phrase because the ball is forward in your stance with the driver. So automatically kind of behind the ball some, but he won't do it with a ton of tilt. The whole reverse K, like right side bend at setup isn't really a thing that we see the game's best players doing much of.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people who really do struggle with just getting that left hip just a little bit higher and not just wanting the whole sort of system to go that way, right?
Yeah, and it's not a lot of tilt at setup either. It's a few degrees here and there. I just have people go straight down from standing up straight. They go down into a setup, and then they just push their hands forward a tiny bit, and that's almost all the setup stuff they need. You don't see a lot of people with a lot of tilt on tour at setup.
Yeah, that's why I like the camera, like the reverse face on, because you can see how people's pelvises are from the backside, like really set up, you know, people like tilted both the, you know, and the worst is when the right hip's higher than the left at your setup position, and you start like leaning and going towards the target in your backswing, which is bad.
It's important to do matchups, right? We have tour averages, and some people take their hands out a little bit more. Some people roll the forearms a little bit earlier. Some people do some different things. You have a different grip attachment, strength, and so on. There's a bunch of stuff, but a lot of people are covered by 70 to 80% of tour averages, and the windows are fairly tight. They're not big windows. You don't see many Ray Floyd types anymore that roll it under super early and then lift it up to the top. You don't see a lot of that stuff. You can make spectrums and things and look at like, here's the most inside guy and here's the most outside guy. But I encourage you to tighten that up to like, here's the 80th percentile guy and here's the 20th percentile guy and kind of stay between those.
Yeah, I like that. I wonder if, has anybody done like one of those, like where they ghosts all the swings on each other? And here's like the most inside takeaway, here's the most outside takeaway. It'd be actually really cool.
That'd be a good one. Almost like a heat map of
that.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Like, why do you think that is though? Do you think it's the golf ball has changed so much, is the reason why we don't see, you know, those big spectrums of way inside or way outside? Is, do you feel like it's the equipment?
I think it's the camera.
Okay.
I think it's the fact that we can record ourselves now, and Ray Floyd probably wasn't recording himself when he was 15 years old.
He just got good at what he did, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of one, and he got good at what he did. Great
and
at
I
what
think
he did.
Competition is tougher now. I think competition is a lot tougher now. So it's tougher. You have to do stuff exceptionally better if you're an outlier, even better now. Even since when Jim Furyk was still playing on the regular PGA Tour and winning U.S. Opens. I mean, he won a U.S. Open in, what, 2003?
Sounds right.
A couple years ago.
It was a while ago, right?
It was a while ago. He didn't win it recently. He's been on the Champions Tour for a while. Competition has gotten better since then. I listened to a podcast the other day that they said the competition now is stronger than when Tiger Woods played, for the most part. And I agree, probably is. Probably not, like, remarkably so, because we're reaching a point of limited returns. But then it's funny how the same people will say that, oh no, but Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors are still more impressive than Tiger's. Like, they're not. Tiger placed much deeper, stiffer competition. But I think the video camera is why we don't see crazy outlier things. I think the stiffer competition is why we don't see crazy outlier stuff. I think we've just gotten better at teaching stuff too. We're more likely to, you know, if a five-year-old comes to us with a crazy thing, we probably adjust it a little bit more to the middle now.
And quicker, right? We get them on the right path, maybe a little bit quicker, so it's easier for them to do it long-term.
Yeah, and plus that guy, we don't know if that five-year-old is going to play twice a week or 17 times a week.
Yeah.
And hit a million balls. We don't know. So it's easier in the middle. That doesn't mean you need a perfectly down the middle of the road swing, but I think staying within the middle 70th or 80th percentiles, you know, right in there, the middle big range.
Yeah, because then basically all we're trying to do is get the club head on the back of the ball. And if the club face and the shaft is in a good spot earlier for you and your body type, it's just going to be easier.
It's a solved problem, and doing anything further toward the outliers is making it tougher on yourself.
Yep, absolutely.
Fair to say?
Very fair to say.
Yep.
Yep. So don't be an outlier. Go subscribe to the Spin Axis podcast so you don't miss an episode. And absolutely share this with every golfer you know.
And remember, you can find all our past episodes online at thespinaxis.com, and you can find us on all socials at thespinaxis.
See you in the middle.